Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach. Our inheritance is turned to strangers, our houses to aliens. We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. We have given the hand to the Egyptian and to the Assyrians to be satisfied with bread. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne their iniquities. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. We get our bread with the peril of our lives. Because of the sword of the wilderness, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the gates of Judah. Princes are hanged by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. They took the young men to grind, and the children fell under the wood. The elders have ceased from the gate. The young men from their music, the joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim, because of the mountain of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walk upon it. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever. Thy throne from generation to generation. Wherefore dost thou forget us forever and forsake us so long time? Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. But thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wroth against us. The preacher is mourning for the people. Heartaches and sorrows. One of the scriptures here tells us it's because of the sin, that the people have sinned against God, that they refuse to hear the voice of the elders, the voice of the ministry, the voice of the prophets. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't pay heed. Though they heard, yet they never paid heed. Now, that's what's happened to America. She's heard, and the words of God have gone throughout the earth, and she's heard. But she didn't give heed to the ministry. She didn't believe what she heard. And because she didn't believe what she heard, then she's in the judgments of God. The wrath of God is laying in there, resting upon her. She's at the end of the trail, and woe, woe, woe. The reason I say woe, woe, woe to America is because to whom much is given, much is required. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth it not, it is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. America knows God, knows the ways of God and the desires of God, but has not done what God told her to do. Out of all of the nations of the earth, she had been more of a heathen, a willful heathen, in that she knew better than to do what she done. And yet she's frolicked on, and her ministers have stood in the pulpit and told her not to worry about it, that God was a good God, and God had grace for her. I made the statement years ago. I said, Brother Oral Roberts, keep saying God is a good God. God is a good God, and God is a good God. But like Brother Branham said so many times, God is also a God of judgment. God is a good God to people in the time of the grace dispensation, and God is a good God to everyone that will continue to walk in His way. But the Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. that he will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. God has been good to the wicked in that he's given them grace. But God is angry with the wicked, and God hates the wicked. And God said he would pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. That's what God thinks about the wicked. Preachers can stand in the behind the sacred desk and tell people over and over that everything is going to be all right. The Bible said you say peace when there is no peace. You tell the people that everything's going to be all right. God said when it's not going to be all right. You say the Lord saith, howbeit when the Lord is not spoken. Said if you'd have stood in the counsel of Christ, in the counsel of God, you would have caused my people to turn from their sins. You would have warned them and told them that God would not let them by with their evil, that every deed must receive a just recompense of reward. So then, America knows, and she's going to suffer more than any nation on the face of the earth has ever suffered or ever will suffer. And you watch what I'm telling you. She's going to suffer untold misery. That's why that Jerusalem suffered like they did. The Jews suffered and was scattered abroad and killed by the millions because they knew the will of God and wouldn't do it. The other nations did not know, and God had mercy on them. He destroyed the Jews, persecuted the Jews, drove them from place to place. And all of the other nations, he turned right around and give them grace. But I tell you one thing. If the Jews did not know any more about God's will than they did concerning the law, and they had to suffer the way they did for that little bit of knowledge, friend, what will be the end of people that know what we know today and understand the will of God the way that we understand it? What will be the punishment of these people? There is no way to describe what God is going to do to these people and to the preachers that have stood behind the sacred desk and told the people that it was grace and that they didn't have to worry, that God was a good God and God was a God of grace. And God understood all of their blunders and all of their mistakes and all of their wrongs, and that Jesus Christ paid for it all, and that God would never touch him. That preacher lied to you. That preacher lied to you. Heartaches and sorrows and miseries and woes such as you've never known in your life is coming upon you. The grace of God does not apply to any wicked individual in the world. The grace of God does not apply to any sinner in the world. The grace of God applies to him that cannot sin because he is born of God, and because he is born of God, he cannot sin. And he hath the grace of God, and that's the only one that it applies to. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, we know that God hears sinners. That's not Bible. The preacher that told you that lied. The Bible said we know that God heareth not sinners. But any man that be a worshiper of God, that doeth the things that God delights in, then God heareth him. John said, this is our confidence that God hears us. He hears us, John said, because we do the things that please him. Israel here in the book of Lamentations that I read to you, it is a sad thing. Because Israel knew to do what was right and didn't do it. I want to point out a little revelation tonight, if I can get into it. The anointing comes for it, just maybe a few current events if we don't get into the stream. But I want to remind you tonight before I do that you're in for trouble. I say this with all respect and all love. I've been in the ministry for over 20 years, I guess. And I preach from coast to coast, in some of the foreign islands, Mexico and Canada, and maybe into a number of the foreign countries by means of radio stations like XCRF. But now, I have never in my ministry seen, nor ever have I heard in my life, of a generation that is as corrupt, as wicked, as mean, as contrary as the generation that we've got. The Bible said a wicked, sinful, adulterous generation. One that curseth mother and father. I never seen such arrogant women. Contrary. Women that wouldn't obey their husband for nothing in the world. Aggravating, contrary, mean, haughty women. Some of them adulterous, sinful. And no matter how much you preach to them, no matter how much that you say to them, it doesn't make any difference. In the Old Testament, God said, I sent prophets to you. He said, I have sent wise men to you. I have spoken to you in every way that I could possibly speak to you. I've given you grace. He said, and because you have refused it, there is absolutely no remedy for you. God said there is no remedy. For he that hardeneth his heart and stiffens his neck shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. The prophet of the Old Testament said there is no remedy for you. Nobody can save you. The Bible said in that day, no man shall save thee. Wives that are contrary, determined to go their way. A woman should to a man say, not my will, but your will be done. A man should say to his head, Jesus Christ, I don't want this will that I've got to control my mind. But Jesus said, whatever you will, whatever God from within you wills toward your thoughts and your conscience and your mind, let that will control you, Jesus said. Well, the Bible said Jesus was not born to the desire of man, or it's called the will of man, out of the desire of human relation, but he was begotten of the will of God. God willed him into existence. And today, if we are a born again son of God, a true godly believer, we have by the mind of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit, by the understanding of his divine nature, been willed into existence, and we exist by the will of God and by the act of the Spirit, not born of the will of man. If there's anything that God hates, it's the will of man. Because his thoughts are continually evil. Not one woman sitting in my midst today has a clean thoughts. Not one. Every one of you that sat in my midst, not one of you have clean thoughts. Not one man sitting in my midst have clean thoughts. Not one. The Bible said they've altogether become unprofitable and filthy. Altogether. And their thoughts are continually evil. And God from heaven looked down and at one time destroyed everything on the earth except Noah and his family. And then after he started the generations back, he looked down and the Bible said their thoughts were still just as filthy and dirty as it was to start with. And then the Bible said that God looked at humanity and said, I'll never again destroy the earth for man's sake. Never, because I see that their thoughts are continually evil. I don't think there's anything in the sight of God that's more disgusting than a haughty woman that'll talk back to her husband. Another thing is men putting their wives away. God said not to deal treacherously against your wife, for God hateth putting away. God hateth putting away. When a man puts away a woman, the Bible said God hates that. That's one of the things that he hates. And when God hates something, it pays you to leave it alone.
Because of the will of man, there's sorrow and heartaches. There's nothing decent about it, nothing good about it. The Bible said there's not one good, no, not one. Out of all the earth, there's none good. God Himself had to come down and bear man's iniquity. God Himself had to create Himself a body and come down as one good. Even Jesus said there's none good but God. And then after God was good enough to give us the grace to where we wouldn't be destroyed, where we would clean up our filthy minds and clean up our filthy spirits and clean up our filthy hearts and get right with God, even after God did this, instead of accepting the grace and begin to be busy trying to do it, all we did was take the grace of God and turn it into lasciviousness. That is to say, we took the grace of God and kept practicing our filth and our evils and our wrongs, our gossiping, our backbiting, our debauchery, our hatred, our rebellion, our contrariness, haughtiness and resentment, all of that we continued to do until God has come to despise the very image of those that have done it. He said, in the morning I will despise thine image. In other words, when you come forth, He said, you'll be the image of the beast bred by the carnal mind of reasoning and not the image of Jesus Christ, and I will despise your image. That's what happened to Israel. You've got an opportunity to do right. My heart bleeds day after day. I never have any peace in that sense. Paul said, my heart is filled with continual sorrow. Continual sorrow. Though he preached serving God, his joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, because of the corruption, Solomon said, not to make yourself overwise, for why destroy thyself? For he said, in the places where there should be judgment, I've looked and seen corruption. The judges are corrupt. The lawyers are corrupt. The men that are supposed to have integrity, the government, are corrupt. The wives are corrupt. The children are corrupt. The husbands are corrupt. All flesh, as it was in the days of Noah, have corrupted their ways before God. None righteous, no, not one. Every man is turned to his own way. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon his backs. By his stripes, the Bible tells us that we have our healing, whether spiritually, naturally, or physically. Paul said, I bear you record that in my heart there is continual sorrow. The Bible said concerning Jesus, he that dwelt in heaven, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. To see the evil is to be to where you'll never have any peace, any love, any understanding from anyone because you see their corruption. But there's one thing for sure. When we set our affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth don't corrupt, when we set our affection on God and when we become dead to the flesh and everything in this world, and our hope and our desires over there and our treasure and our ambitions over there. And the Bible said, let your conversation be in heaven. Our conversation is about holy things. Then we find peace in Him, though we have trouble in the flesh or in the world. A lot of you don't have any treasures in heaven. That's why your heart is back here. Where your treasures are, that's where your heart will be also. I read this little bit to you tonight to try to point out to you why that Israel was in the condition that she was in. And the Bible tells us that Israel is only typical, just a typical example of what was to happen to you and I. I want you to notice the board here, turn toward the board if you will. Now I want to point out a few things here if I can. I'll try not to take long if you'll listen to me. Coming back to Revelation 10, to where the thunders was, starting along there. Now, I don't know what I'll say or what I can say. It depends on what He'll say through me. Because in Revelation, I have learned in my life that I don't have the vocabulary expression, I don't have the ability. As Moses said, I'm not eloquent. And you can't find words of expression. Some of you people that are intellectual, that figure that you're smart and someday you'll know how to do this and know how to express it, you're foolish. There is no human intelligence that can do it. There is no vocal expression. I don't care how brilliant you are. You can learn and learn, and when you go to say it, you'll just sound like a little child with a mouth full of mush. There has to be an anointing to come down. The mind has to be open. God has to begin to speak. And when He begins to speak, your brain and mind operates in such a way that it's just as clear as the noonday sun. He knows exactly what He does, what He sees, and what He's saying. Now, and that's why that I ask you to give me your undivided attention a lot of time. When I say undivided, I really mean undivided. Let your mind. The Bible said, he that hath no control over his spirit's like a city with a broken down wall. When you come to church, be ready to hear. Faith translates, and that comes by the hearing of the voice of God, the Word. So then when you come to the tabernacle, then reverence the sanctuary by listening. The Bible said, ladies, reverence your husband. What that means is that you listen to what he's got to say. Every time he goes to say something, don't you go blah, 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 and cut in and butt in and saying you've done this and you've done that and so and so. Don't you dare do that. You listen to what he's got to say. Don't you butt in at all. I don't care if you're about to bust open. You just shut up. That sounds a little harsh, but that's the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says, let the woman keep silence. That's what God meant for her to do. Let her learn in silence. Now, reverence your husband. You listen to what he's got to say. And the Bible said, not only reverence him, but honor him by doing what he tells you to do. Obey him in all things. That way you're called Sarah's daughters, the children of Abraham. Notice this. When the proclamation of the angelic visitor was given, the Bible said that he set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Now, when I tell you this, I'm not up here trying to bring in some drama or dramatize things or to put on a stage show or to try to get your attention. I mean what I'm saying. If you see drama in it or whatever you characterize it to be in your mind of reasoning, there's one thing I want you to know is that I mean what I'm saying. I mean what I'm doing and I mean what I'm acting and I mean my expressions and my feelings. Whatever characteristics you get, I mean those things. I'm not putting on a show. If I sang to you, I mean it. If I preach to you, I mean it. It's from my soul and my heart. Somebody said, well, if that's the way you feel, that's all right. But I still mean it. Now, in Revelation 10, when this angelic visitor came on the scene, he stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. This thing is a serious thing. This thing is real. This thing ain't like seeing a movie of some dead movie star that'll be alive next week. This thing is for keeps. When you get out there in the war and somebody starts shooting at you, that's for keeps. If somebody happens to hit you, maybe 10 other soldiers might have escaped and they might have went on by, but you're dead. You don't know nothing about nothing. No more, you're dead. A lot of people don't seem to understand what death is. Death means you can't hear anymore. Death means you can't see anymore. Death means you can't talk anymore. Death means you can't taste anymore. Death means you can't smell anymore. Death means you're not anymore. That's the end of you. You're not anymore. That's what death is. Now, if you've never considered you better consider. Death is a horrible thing. Now, the Bible said all of our lives we were subject to bondage of death until Christ died for us. Watch and see what I'm telling you. Some of you that are so confident that God has favored you over others and lifted you up is going to miss your calling. Now watch and see. God isn't going to use you like you think that he is. Some of you ladies and some of you men. I've caught your spirits and I watch you, and I've already seen the place that he's going to lead you, and watch and see. You're going to find out, like Brother Pike told you, that God is smarter than you are. I don't care how much you reason, how much you try to convince God in your brain work, God knows your constitution, your nature, your makeup, your motives, your desires, your intents, your reflex, and every action. God knows it. He not only knows what you do, but why you did it. He knows not only why you did it, but the motive and everything, the impulse that was behind the whole thing. Now, if you were in the war and somebody shot you, you'd be dead. If they shot you, they killed you, you'd be dead. Folks, this is 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands times worse than war. If you get shot in this battle, it is not the death of your body, it is the eternal doom and damnation of your soul. This is a spiritual warfare. And Paul said, no man goeth to war in his own charge. Though you don't see the punishment that's inflicted upon the soul, you don't see the slime pits because you're not wise and not spiritual. That's why shepherds watch for your soul. You don't understand the crisis. You don't understand the danger. You don't understand that Satan is the prince over the powers in the air, and that demon powers are moving constantly in the world today, seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. You don't understand that. But your soul can be doomed and damned and lost and gone. And you may not be aware of it. You might have already been shot to death, spiritually speaking. The Bible said they whet their tongues like arrows to shoot at the upright in heart. You might have already been shot. You never know. People do foolish things, even in the natural. I just recently heard of somebody that tried to play William Tell. And in doing it, they set a little airplane on the top of a little child's head. And instead of hitting the airplane, they shot the kid in the head and killed him. I understand the police are after him now. See, all of those things are typical. Types, shatters. But be a wise man. Jesus said, a wise man, he'll look well to his going. He won't just do anything, but he'll think it over and run out the avenues of every source before he ever makes a move. A good businessman, a man that will succeed, he's not going to do something overnight. He may spend 6 months or a year before he ever makes a move toward it. He runs out every avenue of success in his thinking. He runs out every avenue of failure in his thinking. And even if he sees that it is a successful thing, he will still allow for the fact that it could fall through and be prepared for the worst. Now, I've always said this, believe and look for the better, but be prepared always for the worst, so that if it comes, it won't move you. Be wise. A wise man looks well to his going. He considers or ponders the path of his feet. He handles his affairs with discretion. He don't just shoot in the dark over here and do something over here. Don't just take a chance over here. He has a solid, concrete foundation for what he's doing. Be wise. You women, when you rise up, be wise. Don't just let your tongue send your soul to hell. The Bible said, why let your mouth sin against your soul? Now, by your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. So then, when I tell you something, the Bible said, give the more earnest heed to it. Give the more earnest heed, a heed to it. He said, heed what the preacher tells you. Not only heed it, he said, be earnest about it. Be sincere about it. Give the most earnest heed to it. Lest at any time you forget what the preacher said. Lest at any time he said you let it slip. Lest any time you make one mistake, one bobble, lose one word. Listen to it, folks. You're going to need it. I tell you in Jesus' name, so help me God, you're going to need it right away. Revelation 10. The angel came, gave a proclamation. And this proclamation was that the end of the world has come. He set one foot on the land and he set one foot on the sea. He raised up his hand to heaven, and the Bible said he swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the Bible said the mysteries of God should be finished. The things of God have an end. The mysteries of God have an end. And Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Preachers, it's just going about from state to state, from country to country. They get up and they give you a little pep talk. Then when they give a pep talk, they would have you to believe that that's all there is. They told you the experience. They told you a few things. They said you need to repent. Get right with God, which is good. Every bit of it is good. Every bit of it is good. But folks, there's more to it than that. Shouting and screaming and hollering. All of those things are good if you're praising God. But that's the bare scratching of the surface. The Bible said great is the mystery of godliness. Either Paul told a lie, or he showed it lay a neat trap for the people. Why did he say great, great, great is the mystery of godliness? That godliness is a great mystery. And somebody is supposed to explain the mystery. A lot of people say, well, nobody don't know. That wasn't what Paul said. Paul said, I am a steward of those mysteries. I am a steward of those mysteries. And the Bible said in the voice of the angel of the latter time, whoever he was to be, that in the days of that voice, that those mysteries that Paul said he was a steward of, the mysteries of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because Paul said the revelation of Jesus Christ was made known to me, John in the book of Revelation said, and this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, said that the speaker of the latter times, whoever he was, the angel of God, that in the days of the voice, that's what I want you to get. You say, well, Brother Pike, that means an angel. All right? I agree. It does mean an angel. It means an angel. They said it's Peter's angel. In heaven, we're all as angels. The inner man is an angel. You, if you are a Christian tonight, your spirit, you are an angel. The Bible said when that angel came down from heaven, that he had such a light, speaking of Babylon, that his light lightened the entire world. Said that when he came, the light of the glory of that angel enlightened the entire world. It went all over the world. Now, it said in the days, now notice this, it did not say in the days of the last angel, did it? It never said in the days of the last angel, because the Bible said, I make my angels spirits. It never said in the days of the last angel the mystery of God would be finished, but he said in the days of a voice, that there would have to be a voice from somewhere. A voice is what tells mysteries. A voice has to say something. There has to come a voice. When John spoke, they said, who are you, John? John said, you can just call me a voice. That's all I am, he said. Just call me a voice. That's all you call me. The voice of who, John? What voice are you, John? He said, I am the voice of one. A voice that's crying in the wilderness. Make straight the path of God. Make his path straight, John said. In the days of the voice. Why did he say a voice? Here's where people get off trail. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, Do you really truly believe that a man, that God would entrust the voice of an angel to a man, that any man could esteem himself for such an office in the earth? I'd say that any Christian was foolish to belittle himself and bring himself down to the common voice of an angel. Because the Bible said concerning the ministry, it shall not be an angel that speak, but God that speaketh. Not only the voice of an angel, and that's for you reasoning people that are so intellectual smart you don't know nothing. You're always cluttered up in your mind because you think you've got it figured out, to only be shocked when you find out you're wrong. This is not just the voice of an angel, but the Bible said that in the latter times that the trump of God would sound, that the trump of God itself would sound. The trump of God is the voice of Jesus. We're the body of the Lord. And he said, it's not you that speak. It's the mind of God. It's the voice of Jesus. Amen. Said, it's not you that speak, but the heavenly Father speaking from within you. The trump of God. It is the trump of God. And at the sounding of the last trump, that angel, the trump, the last voice, at the sounding of the last voice, the Bible said, the trump of God. For he said the mysteries would be finished. The Bible said the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice. Is that right? And the trump of God. And the dead in Christ would rise. Is that right? The dead in Christ would rise. Folks, you just don't know. That's all it is to it. You just don't know. You don't even begin to know. You don't understand. You don't know. All you can see is Brother Pike and Brother Taylor. These men that stumble and stagger and make mistakes. That's why you continue to gossip, continue to backbite, continue to find fault, continue to be contrary, continue to go on in the lust of the flesh. Continue to give God your leftovers. God don't want your leftovers. God said, I'm a great God. Hallelujah. Don't bring to me the halt, the lame, the blind. The scripture said, take it to your governors. That's what God said. It said, take it to your governors, to your presidents, and see if they'll receive it. That's what he said. He said, take it to your governors. Said, see if they'll receive it. Get the halt, the lame, and the blind. Take it to the president. See if he'll receive it. Said, don't bring it to me. Said, I'm a great God. Bring me a lamb without spot, without blemish. Some of you hypocrites, you listen. You're trying to get to God with your dip of snuff. You're trying to get to God puffing on a cigarette. You're trying to get to God with your short form-fitting clothes. Trying to get to God with your ugly temper against your family. And against people with your gossiping tongue, holding and mooching and keeping back from God and squeezing every little thing that God puts in your hand to keep from helping the poor and the needy. You're a hypocrite. Jesus told them one time, they came to him and they said, Lord this and Lord that. He said, why tempt thou me, you hypocrite? Why are you trying to give yourself to God? The Bible said a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, a lamb, a body of Christ, the firstborn. Jesus, the firstborn among the brethren, the lamb without spot, without blemish. Come to God without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Don't offer him something crippled. The Bible said a dwarf can't enter into the congregation. If you're drafted in your growth with God, no need to come to God. God won't have you. God won't have any time with dross. People that are freaks. I'm speaking spiritually. That doesn't affect God's love for a natural freak. But I'm speaking them's only type. Some of them folks are good folks. But I'm speaking of the spiritual freak. God will not have it. I hear people speaking about the Jesus freaks. That's blasphemy. That's nothing less than blasphemy. There's no such thing as a Jesus freak. If they're freaks, they're just freaks without Jesus. This man sat, not the man, this angel sounded. And when this angel sounded, the Bible said the seven thunders uttered the voice. Now I want you to notice something, folks. That the angel of the Lord declared the seven thunders. And when the seven thunders uttered their voice, John was about to write. This seven thunders is not written in the scriptures. You understand? It is not written in the Bible. The seven thunders are not recorded in the scriptures. For John was about to write, and the voice said, John, see that you write it not. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God will be finished. Now there were some mysteries in those seven thunders. And John said in the days of the voice that those mysteries would be finished. Is that right? The seven thunders would be revealed, because if they're not revealed, then the mystery isn't finished. The thunders are still a mystery. Now, a mystery is something that's concealed. Once it's revealed, it is no longer a mystery. It's only a mystery when it's not known. When it's revealed, it just becomes a knowledge. That's all. But if it's a God knowledge, it'll translate you. That's why that people get thrown off tracks. The mysteries are mysteries because they're hid. But when the preacher makes them known, they're no longer a mystery. They are a revelation. And it's something you treasure, something you catalog, something you hold to, because it's the mind of God that's going to translate you. When the angel spoke, notice this. The Bible said as quick as he sounded, the voices of heaven spoke and said, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. I spoke the other night like this. The Lord said, when the time of the promise drew nigh, and he said concerning the time of the promise, I will give you the land that you now dwell in. The kingdoms of this world you now dwell in. Your inner man, your spirit, dwells in this body. Your inner man is dwelling in this body, and this body is dwelling in the earth. God said to the inner man, I will give you the outer man. I will change him, redeem him, glorify him, resurrect him in God, and I will give him to you as an inheritance. I will give you the land that you now dwell in. Jesus came forth. He was flesh and bones. I will give it to you. At the same time that this thing was stated, John said, I saw this great wonder in heaven. And I remind you again tonight of the age and time in which you live. I saw this great wonder in heaven. He said, a woman clothed the sun, the moon under her feet, 12 stars upon her head. She was travailing in birth, and a red dragon was right there before her, ready to devour the man child as it was born. For the Bible said she was to bring forth a man child with a rod of iron that was to rule the world. This same Jesus that was to come forth is to sit on the throne of David in the millennium, 1,000 years regime with Christ. And the first dead, those that are in the first resurrection, which is only asleep, dead in the body, they will come forth in the first resurrection, over which the second death, the death of the soul, the lake of fire, hath no power. But they in the first resurrection, at the coming of the Lord Jesus, shall rule and reign with him as kings and as priests for 1,000 years. Somebody would say, well, don't excite me. No, that's because you're dead. Not in the first death. You're dead in your soul, twice dead and plucked up by the root. Dead from the fall of Adam in the garden as far as your body's concerned, doomed to go to a casket. Dead in your soul because your past feeling. God done cut you off. You're twice dead, and the very root of it, which was your spirit in here, it's dead, it's gone. You're plucked up by the root. You'll wither up. No one, friend, could actually believe in their heart that for 1,000 years, man lives about 60 or 70 years down here, running from disease and everything else. And he's glad to get that much. But more than 10 or 12 times, lifetimes, 1,000 years, the life of God's creature that he intended from the very first when Adam fell from the garden. A day with God, 1,000 years. No one could actually believe that they would be a king, rule, and sit on a throne with all of the riches, deity, power, jewels, glamour, beautiful robes, arrayed in fine linen, all of the beauties of the greatest king that ever ruled. The greatest king that ever sat upon a throne that is so beautiful would look like a garbage can in comparison to one of the kings that shall rule and reign with him 1,000 years. You tell me that that don't excite anybody? Is money hungry? Some of you are. If you could get one glimpse of it, you'd mortgage your soul if you could get to it. This thing is not a fairy tale. We're on the brinks of it. Now listen, when the angel declared that time would be no more, this great wonder was seen in heaven. And I say again to you, and a lot of times I revert back and repeat things and say things because some of you are out at certain times and you don't get it. And some of you just knew and come in and you couldn't understand unless I put the fillers in. And I say it for the others that come in, and it's good for you. Peter said, though you know these things, I bring it back to your remembrance. Some of you miss it. But I say to you again that heaven is the Spirit. This woman was in heaven. Now listen, children of God. The Bible said this woman was in heaven. America is a type of that woman. America has been in heaven. She's in the grace of God, and the grace of God is heaven. She's been shielded from every war, sorrow, heartaches, as far as it ever coming to her country. It's just now coming because the types and shadows show that she comes into the place, the holy place, in Washington, into the place of the most holy. So then if America is the holy place, which is called the inner court, then the beast's body was to be burned without the gate, which means beyond the United Nations, for the United Nations show the outer courts. All of the burning, the big brazen altar, is in the foreign countries, Jerusalem, Calvary, the outer courts. All of the slaughter of the brute beast, their blood spilt there. The report of it brought into the holies of holies, which is Washington, the sweet-smelling incense, the religious mixture that no man can duplicate or be cut off from his people, the place of the priesthood, which is the ministry, the religious United States. But remember, at the very time that this took place, this woman was in heaven. She had put her feet on the moon. And the child was being born. At the same time, the great red dragon, Russia, Red China, the dragon nation, was laying in at the moon. They've also scored a victory and put their emblem on the moon. And they were laying right in there. Where was the red dragon? they were also in heaven. For Russia is also in the grace of God. China is also in the grace of God. For the grace of God is to all nations, to give the type. But the Bible teaches that America is a type of Jerusalem, because we are the spiritual Jew and they are the natural Jew. And you watch and see what I'm telling you. As long as the blood is on the mercy seat, it is the days of grace and all of the world is in heaven. Now you better listen or you'll miss it. All of the world is in heaven. But America is a type of old Jerusalem. As long as God was with the Jew, all nations of the world was cut off. Salvation was of the Jew and the world was dogs. As long as God stays away from the Jew, then the nations is in His grace. Because the Jew is the scapegoat. Jesus is the scapegoat. But the very minute that the blood comes off of the mercy seat, the Lamb will not atone anymore. Like Brother David Terrell said the other day, he said, I will not be interceding for America anymore. I want you to get this. He didn't say that he wouldn't be interceding for the world, but he said for America anymore. Now, you might not think that means nothing, but I told you that Brother Terrell was going out. How many remember that? Going out, and I said, as far as I know, it'll turn toward the foreign nations. Now listen, if America is a type of the city of Jerusalem, then when the Lord turns away from America, goes back to Jerusalem, there won't be any grace. If there's not any more grace, then it means that Russia, China, the red dragon, I'm just speaking of types and shadows, the red dragon cannot be in heaven anymore, because grace will be gone. The red dragon is kicked out. That's going to be seen by the rejection in the nations. Now watch and see. Every one of you know that when the Pope came over here, that he pleaded for China to join Confederation of Nations, and it wouldn't do it. Now, and it was kicked out. The Bible says when the dragon was kicked out into the earth, and this really concerns us, that from the time that the dragon went out into the earth, the Bible said woe to the inhabitants of the earth. It hadn't said woe to them before, but it said woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For he is among you. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? God said Satan is no longer recognized as a spirit. He is a man. He's a walking, talking human being. He's one of you. He is among you. When Lucifer, the red dragon, is cast out of heaven, and I just wished I had time when I get your mind and get the anointing to really go into the thing. When this actually took place and Satan was cast out of heaven, then the Bible said it was at the same time that the man-child went up to heaven. Is that right? He said, how could he go up to heaven when she was already in heaven? I brought that out the other day. Outer courts, inner courts, holies of holies. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. Is that right? Outer courts to Calvary, the big brazen altar. The inner courts for 2,000 years over there, the priesthood, the Catholics. From there, over in the United States, the religious Ark of the Covenant where salvation is, the holies of holies. Is that right? Really, we'd have to go down and break it into a couple of more steps to show you the reality of it, but the actuality of it, but that's the type. That way it won't confuse you. So then, second heaven, first heaven, the Jews, the law, first heaven. Wherever God is, it's heaven. Grace. Grace. The second heaven. Wherever God is heaven. And then righteousness, born of God, moved into the Spirit, into the kingdom of God. It is the third heaven. The Jews, first heaven. The Catholics, second heaven. The Protestants, third heaven. Speaking of tithes. Law, grace, and righteousness. The kingdom. Now listen real close. 6,000 years, one heaven, because it's grace. God give it. The millennium, a second heaven, because Jesus is there. And then the celestial city, the third heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. God, the Ancient of Days, in the very presence of the light itself. When the dragon was cast out into the earth, it was because the man-child had went up to the throne. Now, I made the statement. I said, after Nixon comes a king, they found out Ford's name was King. He went in without election, like a king. I said, when Nixon went to the Holy Land, that was the end of Nixon. I said, after this, anything can happen to him because that's the end of him. I said it denotes that the government has turned back to the foreign country and that God will then be ready to destroy this nation. Is that right? Now, if you don't think this means nothing to you, you better remember what Brother Branham, the prophet of our day, said when he said by 77 he saw this place blown to bits. Said the calendar stopped turning. And what is the calendar? It's time. In other words, he said, time was no more. It stopped turning. We're almost down to that time now. There is an end of time, people. There is an end of time. So when the dragon went out, it was because the man-child was caught up. Now, are you listening to me? At the time of Brother Branham's departure, it signified the catching up of the man-child, because that's what he represented. And in the signifying of him going up, it signified the finishing of the mysteries of God, and that Lucifer was cast out of the Spirit because the mysteries had revealed him so perfectly, his spiritual makeup, that he could easily be seen and he could not hide anymore. The mystery of iniquity was no longer a hidden thing. It was a revealed thing. Therefore, the only thing that he could do is to personify himself in an individual. But at the same time, Christ was to come on the scene. Michael was to stand for his people. How many of you know that Brother Ben, I spoke of what he represented down here. Look at the trouble him and Sister Dolly's had over Michael. If you brethren are watching Revelation, you ought to have seen that a long time ago. They've had a complete split up over Michael. And I tried to explain to Sister Dolly what it was about. When he declared he'd stick with Michael if he never did have his wife back. For in the last days, Michael shall stand for his people. Oh, there's so much to that if you were spiritual and run it down. That's just a little light statement. I'd say in the least. But notice this, folks. Nixon, naught, nothing that is not of God shall come to naught. Here it is, it's come. Kissinger, king of the nations, they called him. I said that after the gold was moved, because the government is your wealth, when your wealth is gone, your government's gone, because you can't control people without wealth. Money is a god. There's just two gods, money and God. You either serve mammon, the money, or God. Now, when the government was gone, it had been moved back to the foreign nation, and they said that the gold had been shipped over there as a tithe. Is that right?
That means that God has securely moved the government so there'll be no chaos, no confusion, because he always shifts the government before he blows a place up or tears it up to keep down the chaos. The government going back to the other side of the world, God is ready to blow this one up. He is ready to plot his wrath on you. The woman was on the moon. The man-child caught up. Are you following me? I'm going to close in just a few minutes if you listen. There's a lot I'd like to say, but I'm just going to try to make a point and close. Nixon came back. I made the statement. I said, now watch. I said, now they'll start building the temple back to the Messiah. Now, how many of you remember me making a statement? They start building it back. I see some hands back there. Within a week or a little over, maybe, after I'd made the statement, Brother Bill and him come the very night I preached that the promise is nigh, and said, Brother Pike, look at this article. The article stated they are now building the temple of Solomon that was destroyed way back many hundreds of years ago. Destroyed, they're building it back. Out of what's called the golden stones of Jerusalem. It changes colors from gray to white to gold in a day as the sunlight moves over it. They're asking the Jews, just as they did in the old Levitical law, that every man bring a half a shekel at least. I'll tell you something, folks, you hear me. When I stand here and try to tell you something and lead you as a leader, all of you ought to follow me without question. But you're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're a sheep. A shepherd's supposed to lead you. You're not supposed to reason. Well, let me tell you something. You console yourself by saying, well, I'm a shepherd. That makes a difference. No, a lot of times you're a liar. That's what makes a difference. You just got it in your brain you're a shepherd. Well, let me tell you something. You listen. You might not follow me. Others might not follow you. But you can be for sure one thing. That the Bible said, in that day a nation shall be born in one day. Whenever they call the Jews, you talking about coordination. You've never seen coordination out of the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man, or no other man like you will out of a Jew. When they call the Jews, all of them will rally. And brother, when they say a half a shekel, that'll be almost like an insult to those Jews. They'll take everything they've got and lay it down. And you better believe they've got plenty. God has moved them from place to place. Never would let them get a toehold in any country, any land, or anything else. So that they would gather up those certificates that was covered by gold while the gathering was good. Because gold is a type of faith. And they are doing what the church is doing in a type. We're gathering up the true word, the true faith, the true religion. We're taking it all in, and all of those people that's got out there in that Trinity thing is nothing but a counterfeit. They've got the real certificates. Gold is good anywhere in the world. And gold represents deity, and the head of the image that was down there in Babylon was gold. That means a chief controlling factor. As long as America had gold, she was the head of it. But now if the gold goes over there, it means the headship is left here and Christ is going over there. Now listen, I'm going to try to close because there's a lot of things I want to say and I can't say them. But remember one thing, just briefly. If in the days of Solomon, 975 B.C., if at Solomon's death the kingdom was split, if Jeroboam rebelled, and he did, against the kingdom of Solomon, Rehoboam, which was the son of Solomon, and if 10 tribes pulled away, went down to Assyria, 721, later 606, they come back and got those that followed Rehoboam, which was Judah, taking them down into Babylon. I want you to see something here. From the time that that split came, the Jews was dead in the sight of God. You understand what I'm saying now? From the time that the split came, it indicated that the body had been separated from the spirit. Now listen to me real close. The 10 lost tribes represents your body, 10 fingers, 10 toes, and so forth. The law, under the curse, dead because of the law. When they separated, broke asunder, 721, the body, Israel, the lost tribes, represented by the foreign nations with the Catholic Church, separated. There was no one left but Judah. And of course, that brings in Benjamin. Is that right? What was the difference? Joseph represented Judah, for he was to have the scepter. He represented Judah, the son of prosperity. Joseph and Benjamin, which we say that America is Judah or Joseph in the type. Israel, over here, a type of Benjamin, the last one coming in. Remember, they were not half brothers. They were whole brothers because their mother was Rachel. That is, the Jew is born to the Spirit. That's God's son. That's our true brother. And we're born to the Spirit. We're their true brother. And they represent the body over there, and we represent the Spirit, speaking of the spiritual Jew and the natural Jew. You follow me? I can't go into the real finite parts of it. I love to dig down deep. The Bible says the Spirit of God searches out the deep things. He tells me deep things I'd like to bring out. But we have to have a real, real move of God for me to be able to get it over to you. But notice this, that here they're separated, the 10 lost tribes, Benjamin. Remember the 10 lost tribes, the 10 brothers? They were the children, not of Rachel, but of Leah, half-brothers. You follow me? But these others were brothers. That's why America stuck with Israel like she has. They know their nativity. But now notice this, when they split up, if you don't believe that the time is near, you just listen to what I'm telling you. A lot of people say, well, how can you prophesy this and prophesy that? The mind of God tells you. The Holy Ghost shows you things to come. He shows you by type, shadows. He shows you by revelation. He speaks to you. My sheep know my voice. I could go around here through the nation. I could prophesy from California or Florida and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy, saying, yea, thus saith the Lord, for I hear his voice. But I tell you over and over, I prophesy to you over and over, and it don't even move you. All day long, he said, my hands are stretched out to Israel. They don't pay a bit of attention to it. But said, I was sought of them, and I didn't even go to. I provoke you to jealousy by a nation that's not really a nation, just a type of a nation. When Judah and Israel split up, they died in the sight of God. You follow me? They were dead. The body without the spirit is dead. Israel wouldn't go up to Judah. Rehoboam sent him word, said, you've got to come up here and offer sacrifice. No, we ain't going to do that. No. Bunch of Jesus-named people, we ain't got nothing to do with them. We got our own government. But that wasn't the way God said it. God had a designated place of worship. When Saul and them didn't want to go up there, Samuel told him, said, you've done wrong. There's only one place, and that's where God said go. Now then, when they split up, the body without the spirit was dead. The Trinities represent the woman. The Jesus name represents the man. I won't get to go into that. I wish I could. But anyway, when they split up, they were dead. For many hundreds of years, they have never been considered alive in the sight of God anymore. They tried to come out of Babylon, reestablish the walls, build them back, but only be torn down again. Never have they ever come together. Never have the lost tribes ever come back to Judah. And as long as the body doesn't come back, there will be no resurrection of the Jew. But when those 10 tribes unite with Judah, when Benjamin, Judah, and the 10 tribes come together, it will be the resurrection of the dead. You watch what I'm telling you. Judah is the headship of it. Now watch and see. When the Catholic Church, which represents the 10 lost tribes, coming in as those 10 nations, represented as 10 toes, when all of this begins to come together, link together, the clay and the iron will try to come together. When Israel and Judah were separated, they've been dead in the sight of God ever since that time they've been dead. Because they went under the law, the priesthood, the Catholic Church, and they're dead in the sight of God. And for many hundreds of years, the Temple of Solomon, which was torn down because of that separation, has never been built back, because it signified that God had departed and the headship of Israel was gone. Solomon was no longer with them, because David represented Jesus and Solomon represented the Christ. David represented the millennium and Solomon represented the Ancient of Days, the coming of New Jerusalem, the temple. Never again have there ever been a people. But after all these many hundreds and hundreds of years, the time of the headship is returning back into the earth, because they're building back the same temple that was torn down at the separation. And the temple was what brought them together. And now that they're building the temple, everybody through the world will know that the coming of Jesus is at hand. Every Bible scholar that's got any sense at all will tell you that's the coming of Jesus. Said it shall be built back in troublesome times, perilous times, times of heartaches. The government has shifted. God is through with the Gentiles. It's over. And the headship is coming up and the government's coming up to the Jew. Building back the temple. A nation will be born in one day. They'll rally and come together. And the temple is coming up. Coming up. They're building it. Which means Jesus is coming back to the Jew. That Christ is left off with the Gentiles. The day of the Gentile is over. She's finished and she's gone. Long gossiping tongues, backbiting, fault-finding people with preachers. Stubborn, rebellious wives that won't listen. It's no wonder that you're doing the way you're doing. Because the Spirit of God's lifting. Like the drought I saw just a few months ago. It was so horrible I wouldn't even tell you for months. I shook and I trembled. I was afraid. God knows that's the truth and I'm not lying. I said, oh my God, I'm afraid. And in that vision I saw my daddy turn away from me like this. And he was displeased. And I saw him, he was going into a sleep. I said, Lord, that's my daddy's death. When my daddy dies, it'll signify the coming of that dearth that was to hit the whole land. The Spirit of God had been taken away. That's the truth, so help me God. In the vision, the Spirit of God was gone. The revival was over. I saw a place filled up with people that was listening just like this to the Word. And all of a sudden, I seen the entire place empty. Everything went away. Something said to me, there's no need to write a book. There's no need to do anything. The Spirit of God's gone. Everything was dusty and dry and barren and horrifying. It's the fulfillment of the days of the Gentiles. Your days are over. You're gone. I know you don't believe it. Some of you ain't going to believe nothing. But you'll see. Hell, fire, and brimstone. Heartaches and misery. Suffering and sorrows and woes. Pastors and preachers around the nation fighting me, fighting everything this, and guggling, slopping down beer, wine and everything else. Instead of telling the people the truth, trying to get their money and let them wear mini skirts and anything else, and let the women slop around and the men slop around in any old kind of mess in the church. But I tell you in the name of Jesus, God is going to have a clean, holy wife. It isn't going to be slopped up like your wife and my wife and other wives. It's going to be a clean virgin, holy, pure, and righteous. Folks, it's a sad time. Listen, never in all them hundred years, many hundreds of years, have those two bodies ever come together again. They ain't never come together no more. But they're fixing to come together. I tell you as a prophetic statement before God, you don't believe it, I know some of you don't, But you watch my words. Just as I said those other things would happen, it's happening. I predict this. I not only predicted, I prophesied. They will come together, and they'll do it right away. Now watch and see if it don't happen. You're talking about a rally. You've never seen a rally in your life like that. The confederation of nations, the confederation of churches. The Jews running, coming together, they'll run for their lives. When the Messiah, when the rabbis begin to say the time of the Messiah, the coming of the promises draw nigh, that all of the Scriptures are fulfilled. You're talking about somebody that knows the Scriptures. You don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. Somebody talk about Finest J. Dake. That man don't know nothing compared to them Jews. I mean, they know it. Every jot, every tittle. They know it. We're just a bunch of wise, puffed up people by some learning, but not them. They know what they're speaking of. And folks, listen. That temple coming back, it indicates that it's gone back to the Jews, that it's over for the Gentiles. The church ages has come to an end. That's why the people believe Brother Branham brought the end of the church ages. The thing has come to an end. And now, Laodicea, lukewarm, miserable, wretched, blind, naked, cast out, rejected. And now, them Jews are coming in. That means that if that temple is being built, one fellow will go into there, and that will be the Antichrist. Are you watching? They'll build it back for the coming of the Messiah, but Satan will personify himself to the catching up of that man-child. He'll go into a man, and he'll go into that temple and make himself God, and God will allow him to do it right on down through the tribulation period for a period of time, and then pour out his wrath and his judgment and send those two prophets, Moses and Elijah, to tutor them Jews and to bring them into the revelation of Jesus Christ. You watch and see. And in coming into it, that's going to bring the end. The devil was not left in heaven, but the woman was still in the grace of God because she was righteous. She was righteous. She was righteous. That son went right on up to the third heaven. The third heaven. We, as the body, the church, the woman that's in the wilderness of the carnal mind right now, we don't have time to go into to break it down step by step to show it. America, Martin Luther, the woman coming to America, coming into the wilderness, nourished by the Indians, a place prepared for her. If you just had time to go back and break it all down. But we, the woman, the church, in a wilderness, typified by the Trinity that went in the wilderness, and here we are in the revelation of the man-child caught up. But bringing it down to humanity in general, not breaking down the specific steps of it. Here we are, a body, the woman in the wilderness, dead, buried, just like an old tomb, laying out there, used to bury them out there in the woods. But the man-child, that on the inside, translated in the kingdom of God, caught up to the throne, hid with Christ in heaven, the third heaven. We outer woman, we're in heaven, a place prepared for us, that's grace. But inside, that spirit is not just in grace, that spirit is literally born of God and can't sin. It's the very manifested God. It's the Son of God sitting on the throne. It's that Jesus within you. I travail till Christ be born. That's the man-child ruling with the rod of iron. If he don't rule your life with a rod of iron, you ain't got him. He rules mine with a rod of iron. He says to me from the inside, you will do this and you won't do that, and you shall do this. And I say, yes, sir, amen. God be it so, amen, yes, sir. And I go right on. Somebody said, well, he never talked to me like that. Well, he does me. Not only that, but a lot of times he raises that rod of iron. He says, I'm going to give you a good chastening for being disobedient. He rules me with a rod of iron. And every son that's not scourged, every son that's not rebuked, every son that's not reproved, you are a bastard, the Bible says. You're not born of God. He that is without chastisement is a bastard. All sons are scourged. No son cometh to him without being scourged. I love you tonight, and I'm not trying to hurt you, and I'm not trying to scold you. I'm not trying to do you harm. I'm only trying to tell you, so help me God. Whether I live or whether I die or whether I go on or whether I don't, the pattern that I follow is one thing, and it'll come to pass. But I tell you, some of you wouldn't see it or won't see it when it comes to pass. You'll be a grumpy, grouchy, fault-finding, trying to figure out person that'll miss the whole thing. But I'll tell you something, irregardless to what you say or what you think, what I say is God's Word, and it stands sure, it stands far fast without alteration or change. Folks, you better get a hold of it, because the knowledge of God is what created your outer man, and the knowledge of God is what translated your inner man, and the knowledge of God is the witting of the redemption of the body. That's what it is. The time appointed of the Father, the time of the promise drew nigh. That is the adoption of the body. That means the knowledge has been revealed, to wit, who you are, where you are, and that your body is free from the curse as well as your spirit. And when the church comes into that with a steadfast mind and realizes it's the truth, it's all over. The mysteries is finished, and they're just sealed there just for a little moment. Like that, the Shekinah glory of God will come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall get up, and all of them that have that knowledge, that develop that mind, the Shekinah will go straight to that mind without hindering, from the inside to the outside body. They'll all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, caught up to be with God, so shall they ever be with Christ. Let's stand together. For when the last trump shall sound, the mysteries finish, the dead in Christ shall rise. The last trump, the last trump, the trump of God shall sound. The trump of God shall sound. For in the days of the voice, I want to say this to you again. A lot of people have pinned the voice down to an individual. It didn't say in the days of an individual. It didn't say that. You've got a mouth to speak with. I've got a mouth to speak with. It said he sound like many waters. That's people. In the days of the voice. In the days of the voice. I don't know what measure you are unless the Lord speaks to me. But there is a measure in you. There's a measure in each Christian. And it is not you that speak, but it is a voice in the days of the voice. For when he were resurrected, it sounded like the voice of many waters.